T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Mobile Kia Studios all over Metro Atlanta. Talking a little sports on this, what is going to be a beautiful Wednesday morning, by all accounts. The NFL debating on what to do with the NFL draft, which is slated for 4 weeks from tomorrow to be the opening round of the NFL draft, originally slated for Las Vegas, of course, and now, at least at the moment, is going to be done via social media, Skype, conference call kind of thing. Will they even hold it? Welcome into the program, a guy that we haven't talked to in a little bit, and somebody that we all know and very fond of, Dave Archer, as we talk a little Falcons, analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network and on the WayForward.com hotline. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? You guys staying safe?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely trying to stay safe, Dave. As a matter of fact, how are you doing? How are you adjusting to this new regular normal that we're dealing with right now?
Yeah, it's different, isn't it, Hugh? I think that we are here in the Archer family are handling it pretty well. I've got two kids that live outside my house that still live in the area. So we talk to one another on the phone, FaceTime, try to keep the social distancing thing. I've got two that still live in the home and we're kind of quarantined down and making sure that we don't go out unless we have something essential we have to do. So we've steered clear, knock on wood, so far, and hoping that Georgia doesn't get too much harder than it already has.
So, Dave, I have to ask, with two kids that are out of the home, did they come and try to hit you up for toilet paper when they couldn't find any, or did they find some?
I haven't heard that they've had any issues, and I reminded them, and I remind everybody here in Georgia, that we're probably about 3 or 4 weeks away from having all the toilet paper we need when these big oak trees leave out. So you're not going to really need any toilet paper after to get these hand-sized leaves start to come out on these oak trees. So, you know,
yeah, I'm gonna leave that, Dave. I'm gonna leave that to you. Okay. I mean, yeah, the elm trees and the oak trees, help, they're yours, Dave. You know, I mean,
help coming, baby. Help coming. Come on now, hang in there.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day in Atlanta. It's 70 degrees and sunny. We don't get this much. Here comes pollen season on top of that, though. So, yeah, there's that. Dave, where do we stand? I mean, there seems to be a split in the NFL at the moment between some of the general managers in the league as to whether or not to continue with the NFL draft in 4 weeks from tomorrow. Where do you think we'll end up with this? Do you have any guess?
Yeah, I think that, it seems like that everything is getting pushed back a little bit, John. It seems like everybody's trying to get a grip. I think they're going to have, because of what they're going to do with it, because there's no location tied to it, that the we're not going to have the big hoopla in Vegas, I think they can hold on to this thing and wait to see if the air begins to clear a little bit, no pun intended. So they can continue, because it sounds like it's going to be a teleconference, if you will, a telephone generated thing, online generated thing. So there's not going to be a lot of people in any rooms of anywhere. So I do think they can wait to determine whether things have cleared up enough. I think that what some of the general managers and a number of the personnel people are concerned about is just the inability to see a lot of these players and be able to interview them. You know, we talk about, I know you guys do a good job of breaking down the guys that are brought in here to Atlanta that have a chance to visit with the coaches, have a visit with the general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, and they get more of a feel for these guys. They got a little taste of that at the combine before all of this broke down, and got a chance to be around some players, but not very much. And so that was a minimal scenario there. Obviously, a lot of scouts were out on the road during college football season, and I think that everybody has a decent idea of what is available in the draft and who they are from players' perspective. But I think the personal part of it, and being able to sit them down and talk to them and put things on the board and go over things, that's left them a bit uneasy. And when you have a certain way of doing things and all of a sudden that apple cart has turned over to where you can't do that, there's an uncertainty as to what you're doing. A lot of money's involved, a lot of evaluations that have gone undone with some of these players. And I think that's where the uneasiness is going on. But I do think they can hold on and wait for a couple of weeks before they ultimately decide what to do.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to Dave Archer, Falcons play-by-play guy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Dave, let's get back to the Atlanta Falcons a little bit, because I'm kind of curious. When you heard the news of not only the Hayden Hurst being signed, but Todd Gurley specifically, how did you feel when you heard that the Atlanta Falcons reached out to Todd Gurley and he could potentially be here?
Well, obviously, the splash of the name. I've had a chance to call a couple of games where Todd's played against Atlanta. Certainly the playoff game. We went into that playoff game in 17 against the Rams in L.A., and the number one priority was getting Todd Gurley signed. Now, that was back in 2017. You got to fast forward now 2 years later, and Gurley a little bit more banged up. Obviously, there's the issue with what they're terming as an arthritic knee, and he was limited a year ago. The one thing I noticed about Todd Gurley's numbers, and you can't base everything by numbers, but certainly is the games, some of the games he's missed, and even at the end of their Super Bowl run, he was a guy that was really banged up that wasn't able to get on the field and help him. But he scores touchdowns, guys. I mean, I think what he scored 42 touchdowns in the last three seasons. He scored 12 touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the prolific, 12, 13, 1,400-yard rushing season, but still he gets the ball in the end zone. You wonder now, as you begin to look at your running back room with Brian Hill potentially, Quadri Olison, Ito Smith, that you've got guys that have some different dimensions to them, but Gurley could mix in with that group. And are you really looking for him to carry it 25 or 30 times a game? I think those days are probably gone for Todd Gurley for the most part, but I do think he can come in and contribute. He's an outstanding receiver as well. He's a bigger-bodied guy that would help in protection to help Ryan if he has to stay in. So I think he mixes in really well with that group.
Talking with Dave Archer, Falcons analyst, former Falcons quarterback, about some of the things with the Atlanta Falcons. Dave, do you consider Hayden Hurst and Dante Fowler Jr. to be pushes to replace Austin Hooper and to replace Vic Beasley? Are they upgrades? How do you view those two players in their role with this team?
I think at the very least, I think Fowler will be an upgrade, John, because I think Fowler's a bigger body guy. Hugh would be really good to talk about this. He's a bigger body guy to defend the run. Beasley got pushed around in the run game a lot. He ran around blocks. He didn't take blocks on. And Hugh would be the first guy to tell you, if you don't take blocks on, now you're creating creases. If you're running around blocks, you're creating creases in the defense. So I think Fowler's ability to take on blocks, wrong shoulder things, stop things at the point of attack and make runners bounce or have to choose a different direction, that's going to aid in the run game. Certainly what you're looking for from him is the ability to rush the passer. And I think his ability to have multifaceted moves, he's a guy that has enough size that he can bull rush. He has the speed. He has different moves, which I think we saw, and I know Hugh's talking about, where there was – there wasn't a lot of variety to what Vic Beasley brought to the table. I think Fowler brings all that to you. So I would say that's an upgrade at the defensive end spot. As far as the tight end goes, Hayden Hurst came in with highly acclaimed kid out of South Carolina, pass-catching guy. He's a bigger body guy, again, that helps in the run. I think he's a guy that played in some run offense in college, certainly played in a run offense in the pros, got a little bit banged up and cost him his job, because they went in a different direction at tight end. But I think that his abilities mix in really well with what Atlanta does, and they will mirror some of the things that we saw from Austin Hooper. I think he will be a better inline blocker in the run game than Hooper was. I don't know that he's quite as nifty down the field, but I think it's very close that might be a push as far as that goes. So I like both the acquisitions.
We're talking with Dave Archer, Falcons analyst, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. As we look at the Atlanta Falcons and the NFL and some of the stories here, you saw all the turnover, certainly Dez, Devontae, and we could go with Devondre. The Falcons, as they move forward here, Dave, are going to be somewhat limited in what they can do in terms of free agency, even though they've restructured some deals here. But what do you see them doing? Are they going to address cornerback, a linebacker in the draft, defensive tackle, defensive end, all those positions really draft positions, or do you think that they may stick their toe back into free agency to some degree to try to fill one of those spots?
Well, I'd like to think maybe some of the guys that are on the board for Atlanta still that they haven't signed. I think Adrian Claiborne would be a good guy to try to look at and bring back. I haven't seen anything on Adrian, and I know we're all kind of reading stuff, and it's hard to be around things, so I haven't seen anything with Adrian Claiborne's name attached to it. I would assume Jack Crawford is probably in that same boat as far as guys they might like to look at bringing back. But I think for as far as a splash-type guy or someone in that regard, I think you're looking at what they're going to do in the free agents market. So, yes, on all those categories as far as looking at what they'll do in the draft. I think that I don't know that I've narrowed it down to exactly what they're looking to do with that first pick or even that second pick, but I certainly think that they're going to be directed towards the defensive side of the football. I think the Justin McCray signing, the offensive lineman that can play guard and center, was a good sign because it adds some depth. Look for Matt Gono to have a real shot at winning the left guard position when we get back into the mix where he can compete with Carpenter and Brown to get in there. I thought Gono showed a lot of stoutness at the offensive guard position. He got a chance to play against Tampa in that last game of the year. It was the first time they'd actually put him on the field at the guard position. Last year he had been kind of slated as a tackle and was going to start at tackle at the beginning of the year last year, but I thought he showed a lot of stuff that certainly turned some heads. Certainly Thomas Dimitroff was impressed by him late in the year. So, but I do think the defense is going to dominate the draft.
Quadri Olafson, you know, we talked about him a little bit last year, and I always refer to it how you talked about he played running back and fullback at Pittsburgh. And I was just wondering, how do you think he factors into this offense with the addition of Ty Gurley?
No, I think that Quadri is a guy they like a ton. Hugh, he's a guy that I mentioned what Todd does extremely well is find the end zone. 42 touchdowns in the last two seasons for Todd Gurley, and that's something that Olsen developed into for the Falcons. He became a guy that that certainly was a short yardage guy. He's a bigger body back. He has outstanding vision. I had a chance to call probably six or eight of his games at Pitt, and he has a really good knack for running the ball between the tackles. A really good vision. He runs with a good pad level. I mean, he runs with great leverage, and he's not a guy you can bring down with an arm tackle. He's going to run through people, which is why he became Atlanta's short yardage back. And I think that his progress has obviously been stunted by the fact that they can't get out and practice here in the spring right now. Hopefully that'll ease up maybe in a month or so. But and everybody's going to be stunted to a certain extent because of these circumstances. But I think Olsen's star is on the rise. I think he has a chance to be a guy that could be one of those bell cow backs. And if you did need to grind it out and pound somebody with a run game, Quadri Olsen is your guy. So I like him a lot. He's got a great attitude, good teammate, and his versatility, as you just talked about, Hugh, to be able to slide in front. He even played some tight end H-back at Pitt as well. He and James Conner were there at the same time, the outstanding running back that's now playing for the Steelers. So he's shown a lot of versatility. He also contributes. He's a core guy on special teams. So a lot there with Quadri Olsen.
Talking with Dave Archer, Falcons analyst. Well, Dave, what do you make, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you about Tom Brady in Tampa. How do you think this is all going to play out here in the NFC South and with Brady now in the division?
Well, I think Tom Brady is obviously as good as it's ever played the position. Where is he at 43 years of age? We'll have to kind of wait and see. Everybody seems to think he took a backslide last year, and I don't know that I saw it. I think his team wasn't maybe quite as good on the offensive side as they'd been without Gronkowski and some of those and a weapon like that. When you remove that from a team, it makes him a little bit less potent coming at you. They were very good defensively, number one in the league a year ago defensively, so certainly points given up. So, but I think Brady coming into the division makes it tougher. I mean, how good is this division now when you begin to look at what some of these teams are doing and retooling? And Tampa, a year ago, that was an outstanding offensive unit. They were number three in the league in total offense. They led the league in passing a year ago. Now, the problem was, as you guys all know, the quarterback threw the ball to the other team. Brady, I think, has thrown 29 interceptions in his last 4 years. I think that's the number, correct? I mean, obviously, we know what Jameis did last year. He threw it to the other team 30 times, including one to Deion Jones to end the season in overtime for the Falcons a year ago. So just not throwing the ball to the other team, how much better is Tampa going to be? They were 15th in the league in defense. They were number one against the run. They had 47 sacks on the defensive side of the ball. And then you team them up with Evans and Godwin and O.J. Howard. I mean, that's a pretty potent attack. If they can protect him. Now, they gave up 47 sacks last year. Now, I think Bruce Arians, that's kind of an area they would like to attack and fix their offensive line to a certain extent. But, yeah, I think Tampa is going to be great.
Talking with Dave Archer. Yeah, go ahead.
You got it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst, play-by-play guy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, defensively, Dave, I had this harebrained scheme in my head trying to figure out a way to trade all the way up to get Chase Young. I know that's not going to happen. But I would love for that to happen. So who do you think out of all these young players that are coming out will probably be the best fit for the Atlanta Falcons if you've been watching some of these young players that – well, I know you have been watching some of these young players coming out in the draft.
Well, I think it's certainly the eyeballs kind of draw you to the front seven somewhere, Q, the names, obviously, Espenza, the kid out of Iowa, has gotten some traction with the Falcons. Now, how much does that change with Dante Fowler being signed? Kalamon Chaisson, who's an outstanding athlete, but he's kind of unproven. I think he's only got like 9 or 10 sacks in his career at LSU, but he certainly looks at the part at 6'5", 260 pounds on the edge that can run. That's where your eyes immediately go. Now, can you get – does a couple of these big defensive tackles fall in your lap a little bit? We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. There being, you know, Derrick Brown out of LSU and Kinlaw, the kid from South Carolina, do they have a chance to fall to you? I think that would be an interesting look in the first round as well, especially with the addition of Fowler. Maybe the edge player slides a notch further down, and now you look at defensive tackle to pair somebody with Grady Jarrett on the inside. If one of those two guys were to be available, would you make a move there? I can't imagine that if there's a package they could put together to get all the way up to get Chase Young, that would pretty much eliminate your draft this year and probably cost you next year's number one. I'm not sure they want to go that direction. I think the Fowler acquisition was one that maybe eased those tensions a little bit. Certainly, I think they're still going to try to add something on the edge in the second round. And his name escapes me right now, but I love the kid out of Boise State. You guys can tell your fans about him. He's an outstanding player that kind of plugs in that second round as far as an edge player goes. So where does that leave you? I think defensive tackle is certainly in the mix, and I think that, you know, again, with Devondre Campbell being gone, I do think that Foye Oluokun can step in and will be a starting linebacker. He's a guy that can run, and he's proven he can play a lot of minutes, which he's done, and he's done a nice job. I think his ability to step in and play right away is probably key. And do you see Oluokun maybe playing more to the inside? And maybe Deion Jones plays a little bit more on the perimeter. We should see that this defense for Dan Quinn's a little bit positionless in certain situations. In the back seven, where Keanu Neal, should he be healthy, is he big enough to where he can come in and play that that dime linebacker, nickel linebacker position? I think there's a big yes there. So there's a lot to kind of mull over, but I do think that the defensive side of the ball is where they're going to attack.
You know, Dave, I'm looking at the division. I think, you know, you got Emmanuel Sanders to go with Michael Thomas in the attack with Drew Brees back in New Orleans. Brady, of course, down in Tampa with all the weapons that he has. And now Bridgewater to go with McCaffrey, even though they've lost a lot of veteran players like a Keekly or a Turner or, you know, the guys that have retired off that team. And I don't know what Matt Rhule is going to bring. And all the additions now to the Atlanta Falcons. I look at the NFC South, Dave, broadly, and you and I have talked about this. Is this the best division in the NFL now?
Well, we have to see it all the time, don't we, John? So I think that I think we pay attention to it pretty close. And I think you could say that it doesn't take a back seat to any other division. That's certainly the case. I think that it'll be interesting to see what Matt Rhule does. I think Matt Rhule is an outstanding coach, and he has come in and immediately put his stamp on this thing, hadn't he, with the release of Cam Newton, the acquisition of Teddy Bridgewater. And so I think that there's no question that they're going to be a team that's going to be have refueled, if you will, because of the new energy that's around the new coach that generates some new energy around your program and certainly new players coming together. Again, these teams that are adding new players, and we've got two of the four are adding a quarterback. Think about this, guys. If this thing lasts longer than we hope it does, and let's hope it doesn't, and let's hope we don't have to worry about this, but certainly these organizations that are adding new coaches and new players, especially at key positions like quarterback, and the inability of those guys to get on the field with the guys they're going to play with and get to know those guys, get to understand those guys, and absorb the new concepts and the new terminology of the new systems, that's going to delay them some. Even though we like the players that are being added to these teams, it's going to delay them. I having had to learn multiple systems in my career, that's not easy to do. And we start talking about multiple players having to do that, that makes it tough. So I would think that they're going to be a little bit behind the curve. Now you're talking about a guy like Brady, he's going to catch up pretty quickly, and I think Bridgewater will as well. But I think that might be something you have to take into consideration with some of these teams in the division as well.
Dave, it's great catching up with you. Just great hearing your voice again.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. You guys are doing a great job of keeping the public informed, and thanks to 92.9 The Game for continuing to get out there and continue to be a part of the solution and helping people stay informed of what's going on. It's hard because the sports is our outlet. Sports is where we want to go. We don't have to think about some of this crazy stuff that's going on around the world. And unfortunately, sports has kind of been taken away from us a little bit. And you guys are giving us a little slice of that pie back to us. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Dave. Appreciate you.
You got it, boys. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.